the river meets the sea. And in the sticky heat I feel you open up to me. Love comes out of nowhere, babe, just like a hurricane, and it feels like rain. Star right next to you. I'm wondering who you are and how do you do? How do you do, baby?
Hey, everybody. Larry, why don't you try here?
Okay.
Just sort of get right between us a little bit. We don't have enough room. You'll be a little bit back row, but then this will be your microphone.
Okay, I can get it.
Okay. You might have to.
I have a little mic.
You might have to lower the little dude there.
Yes. You
guys this is going to be your headphone.
Okay.
That's going to be your headphone right there. Yours is too. Okay, which one is this longer one?
I don't know, this seems shorter.
So, hold on. Well, I may have to. First of all, can you get yours on, Mike?
I can move that wine glass out.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Now.
Hold on.
Barely.
Hold on.
He'll get it.
Here's an idea. Move that fucking laptop.
No, but he'll move. He'll move something. I think he knows there's one that has a longer.
The thing is John gets me, he doesn't care.
Okay,
one here, man, because this isn't giving me a lot of batting
down the hatch. No, he's gonna give you more. You gotta pick up the left.
Oh, hold on. My fault, hold on.
Wrong one? Oh, okay.
Actually, let me have that one.
See if this one.
See, this one's got a big long extension, so it'll stretch.
You know what we need to do? Now that I see that, we need to get extensions.
I know.
Let it wash away.
Yeah, I can. See if that one.
Wait. I see it, bro. I'm ordering it.
Huh? I got a quarter and I got eighth inch adapters. This one takes both right here.
Okay, I got a couple. Give him a little room there, Johnny.
Huh?
Give him a little.
I'm trying to get it, keep it so that this my headphone amplifier is what's going on.
Okay. Is that better, Mike?
Hold on.
No, you can't hear anything. I'm going to turn it off.
Like Kramer used to say. Again.
That was a great character.
You see Seinfeld go on Colbert?
Oh, I heard that.
It's pretty good.
Oh, no, he went on...
one of those.
No, he went on the other one. He went on... what's his name on NBC? Colbert's on CBS.
Oh, Fallon.
They're all good.
Yeah, they're great.
I care what anybody says. I mean, no, all those shows.
Yeah, they're good.
Kimmel's good.
I don't like Fallon as much.
Fallon's pretty good. He's silly. I don't like him.
Yeah,
I
do too.
I like Colbert, too. Just Colbert just shreds Trump everywhere.
Colbert's every night. He was at it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they told me to say.
Fallon's
I love.
Right.
Jon Stewart.
He tries to play it
but
cool.
But he's the only host. Stephen Colbert came out on national television and said... John Stewart's interview.
Right, I remember that.
John Stewart's the executive producer. Yeah. And John goes, so for the first 6 months, what were you trying to do again?
Right, that's right.
He goes,
and we knew it. Goes, we knew it by watching.
I was trying to figure out how to get rid of the monologue.
Yeah.
And you said to me, because we were talking, recalling the conversation, he's like, that's going to work. 60 years of shit that the American people depend on every night. You just want to change it up.
All right, get down here. All right, everybody.
What he said?
The mics are live.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
All right, JB, sit down here and get the.
Oh, my headphones are on the desk.
Yeah. Well, wherever they are.
Here it is, right here.
It came out more starkly when he revealed a little bit of his international status, you know, and the work he'd done.
Bona fides.
Yeah.
That must have
hadn't mentioned that, you know.
Right.
All right, I got there's been a development that of a very interesting development in France that now is catching everyone's attention because a group of citizens naming themselves the Yellow Jackets because they wear yellow jackets. Anyway, they have been in the streets of Paris and they're nearly shutting down the Macron government. They may yet do so, okay? Over protests about mainly wage stagnation for decades, okay? Yeah. And because they all have unions there, or a lot of them do anyway.
Right.
And but it's not just the there's and it's not just the left right thing. Everybody is, you know, just torqued off at, you know, never any progress, right? Really.
Oh, and, I'm so sorry. We could never raise your.
So anyway, rate of pay, I'm reading this article by none other than Oliver Blanchard. Now, Oliver Blanchard used to be the chief economist for the IMF.
Right, you were pre-show.
And he's a man of the old world.
Old world.
Yes, he is. He's a man that he has a liberal mind, but, you know, we must remain civil.
We must always remain civil.
He has a little bit of Churchill there.
You cannot negotiate.
Right.
With a shock when your head is in his teeth.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, he had a statement that he decided to make, you know, which has been broadcast all over England now.
Yes.
I don't know why in France. He's an Englishman, basically.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Oliver says, this just proves that the political parties are stretched out in this kind of traditional 20th century left versus right battle. And it's not the battle on either side is not generating any results that anybody can really see. And the new generation, you tell them all this history, and they basically said, to hell with that, okay? And whatever it is, it ain't working. And they head to the streets. And Mr. Blanchard he's horrified because he knows that this can turn into the mob engaging in chaos. Now, I offer that. I want to add one thing to this. Hold on. Stop right now. Stop. I want to have one more point. One more point. Back when the Tsar was being overthrown, he made a similar speech. Don't you have any civility? Look at all the good works the Tsar is doing. And he was doing some good works. And why are you threatening our lives? And the head of the Bolsheviks said, well, revolutions are festivals of the oppressed. They just don't understand your problem. I have their problem. So see, the Yellow Jackets, we could become. Yes, go ahead. What's happening? My question is that is everything that we always were taught now invalid?
Not.
That's pretty deep.
Not everything, but I will say this. If it keeps screwing around and screwing around and screwing around with working people's money, and you don't do a damn thing about it, and you don't give them access to anything, eventually, they all wake up. Eventually, they come to your home.
And they burn it down.
Yeah. They find out where...
For firewood, or they just take it apart, piece by piece.
They find out where your home is because they want their just desserts.
All right. So.
There's a lot of working people out there that are busting their ass.
Now, one of the first things that happens after all these upheavals, the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Russian Revolution, I'm sure the Somali...
Off with his head.
The Bologna Revolution, et cetera, all these things, is the first thing they do is they open up the prisons. Larry, is that a good idea?
as progressive as I am, there are people I associate with daily who are right where they belong. and this is for the good of the country and for their good as well. But and large, I would say 70% are not a threat to society. So we're wasting a lot of money. Another thing we're doing about that is we're putting all the money in the back instead of up front.
Right.
Where the pipeline from high school to prison exists. And if I may, you said we were taught. There's our problem. Just because you memorize something does not mean you understand it. And our societal intellect is very surface. It's not. It doesn't have any depth at all.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got nothing but simple answers to very complex questions.
Right.
And then we're talking about the uprising of the working class. You know, really, if you really want to understand that, you really have to go back to the Reformation.
Yeah.
When work became something other than what you do to survive while you live a good life.
Right.
And that changed with capitalism, with mercantilism, the guilds. Nobody understands that stuff that way. And so we don't understand the rage of the working class. They don't understand it themselves. Well, they just know that their identity has been stolen. I think that's way more important than anything to do with wages or anything to do with it's a religious kind of thing that causes this boiling over, because they have lost their meaning. There's no meaning to their life without meaningful work. That wasn't always the case.
But meaningful work, I don't care how meaningful it might be in concept, but I mean, if it doesn't pay enough to keep your vision from just staying fast on tomorrow and never, day after tomorrow is too much. I mean, there's that. Go ahead.
I was just going to point out that we might be at the beginning of what Reverend Barber describes as the third Reconstruction.
Right. That's the way we should be thinking. Yeah.
We may be there. We may be at the beginning to where you're seeing, you know more and been revealed more to hardship and what people go through of minimal intellect. Minimal comprehension of civility, what civics really are,
right?
And when you talked about the front end, I was also stunned by this, because John and I have talked about this before, about masculinity.
Oh my!
About this bullshit vision of men, and somehow or another, you're a failure if you don't make more money than your woman. And if you
there
don't,
were just several Marines just, that know. Were disciplined for doing a skydiving exercise in which they drew a penis in the sky.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, horror.
John,
that's the holy penis.
The penis.
That's
like vandalizing the Washington Monument. You can't do that.
Don't tell me that 60 and 70 year old men don't like dick jokes. Anyway,
that sounds like a song. That penis in the sky.
Yes. Penis in the sky. Oh, there you go. Journey. Wow, that's quite
definitely
a journey.
Journey would be the perfect band.
Journey could do the penis in the sky.
They could nail that.
Oh, God, don't. Don't. That hurts. Just thinking about it. That's
really.
Well,
and what are you
But the point is, do you have another subject you're going to, John?
I was stung with something, and I wanted to make a point before I was interrupted by penis jokes.
Right. Yeah, that's
my
important.
Point is that this fictitious brand of masculinity that we have been brought up in really has actually astronomically affected our culture and our men.
Diabolically.
Yeah, I mean, yes. To a degree where they're so, you know, any femininity gets in there, boy, I'm gonna beat it out, you know, that kind of, you know, oh, well, you some kind of faggot kind of, you know, that kind of silly, asinine retort to just being a human. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you can't continue to have this idea of masculinity where you're I'm a tough guy and I'm the you know, look, just be a human being, just be a decent person, you know. And I think I've looked back on my existence and I honestly, man, to get pumped up for Saturday afternoon football games or Friday night football games, there was a lot of patting. There was a lot of, I was playing Patton, you know, we all, you know.
At the risk of offending I will say I'm not a football fan. As a matter of fact,
I don't blame you.
I don't like football.
I don't blame you at all.
When I came back, I saw a documentary called Hearts and Minds. Ever hear of it?
Yep.
Football as preparation for war. And then you had Tom.
I like baseball now.
Baseball's a good game.
Corporate leadership. There used to be a lot of CEOs didn't want to hire any manager that wasn't out of professional football or basketball.
Hey, sure. my dad, when he was retiring from the police force, saw the police force begin to hire these ectomorphic freaks from semi-pro football and these disc guards from college that had injured knees but could still, you know, beat the crap out of somebody.
Yeah,
but
could they think?
You know, no.
No.
And that's my father would try to express to all of them, look, you know, 70% of this job is thought process.
Right.
It's trying to dispel
I want
to
change. The word is if Kirkpatrick had beaten his wife instead of taking a knee, he wouldn't have any problems.
So, yes, absolutely. You know? So I want to change subject though for a minute here.
Okay.
Because we have a serious situation in West Virginia that I think we have to talk about.
I think the governor has got to be called here.
I think the governor has got to be called. And before we hear directly from him and his various digestive issues, then I think we need to explain what's happened. And that is that a deadline is approaching for the commission that was created to find a permanent funding stream for PEIA, which is the Public Employees Insurance Agency, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Is about to issue its report, and Governor Justice decided to interlope upon that report and declare that. Now I have to use the bubblehead I have of him. Have you seen him? Have you seen my Jim Justice bubblehead?
No.
Well, it's a great one, and it talks. And so he told me,
I done did it.
Well, after he said, I done did it, you know, he said that I'm a terrible afraid that we cannot use the severance tax to pay for a permanent funding stream for PEIA. I'm afraid that if we were to use the severance tax, it would cut my throat.
So the problem is,
what's the it?
The severance tax would cut his throat. He's a coal operator.
It would cut my throat. Who's it?
It is the coal. The severance tax would cut his throat. He can't support it.
You mean all those out-of-state corporations?
Hold on.
Well, he's a coal operator himself.
Hold on. It's out-of-state.
He'd have to pay it himself.
I think I hear Jim in the background.
Okay, Governor Justice, what do you have to say about this?
There's no way that we be able to use that tax, because you know I done did it, you know what I'm saying? Now we can't use that service tax, because I'm going to go ahead and cut Hold on, hold on. I
got
to take
Governor, one. Governor, I've got to interrupt you. You've got practice.
I
got
to take.
You've got girls' basketball practice coming up pretty soon.
I got to take one more step. Hold on. I'm almost off the toilet. Hold on.
He's trying to get to the toilet.
Hold on. I got it. I thought I was already on it.
Somebody get the Crocs for the governor so he can walk out of here.
This is disgusting.
Didn't I just hear something about transferring a lot of attention in West Virginia towards renewables?
Yeah.
Didn't Joe. I just hear that?
Joe Manchin?
And Joe Manchin, yeah. And he's a man I've had a lot of ambivalence towards along.
You and the four old guys are sitting in this room all have a lot of ambivalence.
He seems to point out to me my own, the extent of my own inability to try hard enough to understand the conservative republic agenda. Because I think as strongly as I feel about it, I must be making some mistakes somewhere.
Well, there's actually no...
There's no redeeming quality.
See, like, I'm going to do an impression.
We were talking about...
John, this is going to make sense. This is going to make sense. This
okay,
make sense
all right. Okay.
This is my impression of every episode that you've ever seen of The Walking Dead. Okay? Ready? Okay, thank you. Okay, it's accurate. But here's my impression of the results of every piece of Republican legislation that has been signed into anything across the country in the last 30 years. Same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Now we have to hear from JB on the question of justice, though, because I think he has some other issues to raise about appointments.
Well, the thing about justice is, not only is he a part-time governor because he doesn't even reside in Charleston.
Nope.
He lives at the resort.
Where have we heard that?
The Greenbrier. Familiar. He owns the Greenbrier. He lives at the Greenbrier.
Plays golf, doesn't he? Play golf a lot.
He's protected.
A lot.
He's protected.
Jim Justice is hugely, bigly, strongly.
He has a
strongly, hugely.
He has a horse attached to his golf cart. And the horse uses the clubs.
And the person who actually answers the governor's
I thought the horse died.
Daily schedule is a guy named Bray Carey.
Oh, never heard of him.
Who's the editor and publisher of the State Journal.
That's another.
Which is a totally right-wing, you know, publication. Hmm. Totally pro-gas, pro-coal.
The
usual.
Yeah.
And very light on real news.
That's working out for everybody, JB. How many people have jobs in this? Okay, all right.
Okay, that's what we were talking about, jobs. Yeah. Well, you know, to the victors go the spoils, right?
Right.
I mean, weren't we all brought up that way?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's an alternate reality in West Virginia. It is. Because if you lose, you get a better job.
Just ask Jill in your face, Upson.
Yeah. You lose your race. You know, you might have been in there for several terms.
Do we know the name of the organization she chairs?
It's easy to find, but it's
I'm not going to mention JB. I'm not going to mention Jill Upson and her losing her race.
No.
Anyway,
no.
But let's
move on. House of Delegates contest.
Right. That's what I meant to say. Not race. Not.
Well, but she was running against somebody race, similar.
All right. So let's for those who don't pay attention, the issue here is that Jill Upson, I mean, in addition to being, you know, a follower of the philosophy of crass opportunism, nonetheless, just stepped in a pile of doo-doo that is just has no bottom when she agreed to chair an organization that issued the following messages to African Americans during the midterms. Don't vote Democrat because it'll result in a right-wing backlash that we have more lynchings.
Right. Lynchings, yeah.
Watch yourself.
Use that.
Watch yourself.
She issued that warning.
Yes. Yeah. Her organization, of which she is the chair, and she's an African American.
Y'all just watch yourself.
And anyway, but I mean, just to add, you know, I mean, that some people, no matter where they come from, will do anything for money. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm looking at this like the Reverend Jim Ignatowski from Taxi. I'm just like, so you're saying she's an African American? Okay, so she's the head of a hokey dog.
This doesn't.
And, you know, go
ahead.
She drives a convertible.
I saw it. Yeah, that's
good. Mercedes with the license plate First Lady.
Right.
First Lady of what?
That's my question. You know, her husband probably got it for her.
But I've always gotten along great with her. I've never had a problem with her personally. You know, she would at least be in her office and would talk to me about certain legislation. But and she's always been very, very nice and congenial.
She hasn't to me.
On Twitter.
She hasn't to me. Maybe it was the fact that I told her when I shook her hand that she sucked.
Well, yeah, well, that kind of gets you off on the wrong foot there.
Well,
Mike.
JB, I'm don't you, have.
That's
the,
why you're not a political consultant.
I don't
Mike.
Have the demeanor you do.
Well, no, if you're trying to be a lobbyist, you can't make
it has
friends.
Something to do with
I'm
it.
Not trying to be a lobbyist.
Right. Well, that's what I was doing.
Oh,
well,
that's right.
Yeah, you got to get. Yeah. You know,
remember, that's why I was there. I was that's right. You're there trying pay, to get something.
Yeah, JB was down there where the rubber meets the road. Okay.
Right.
And
I knocked on her door. And she answered the door. Like a lot of those guys, a lot of her colleagues, when you knock on the door, you don't hear a word. You don't hear a peep. And then you go to open
the
door.
Is that because they're inside masturbating?
I don't know what they're doing in there. But the
that's
lights,
only when JB shows up.
The lights are off. The lights are off and the door's locked. So I don't know where they go.
So did you hit on?
Yeah, we have to. We're free to speculate then.
JB, did you hit on? Did you?
No, are you kidding? I was trying to convince her.
Come on, JB.
That solar energy
JB,
was the way to go.
Come on. It's just you and me.
Don't tease JB. It's all business. Don't business.
Maybe I can draw an analogy here.
Oh, help us out. Help us out
with a public defender. Public defenders very often are very hard to reach on telephone. Or say a parole officer, same thing, and they give me this instruction: don't let inmates call me.
Right.
And right. It sounds unfair and harsh, mm-hmm. and it certainly does until you let a few dozen of them call, and they say, "How's my case going?" Everything okay with my case? You know, takes 20 minutes to get a guy to the phone. And from where they are, they have to call collect.
Yeah.
And these lawyers, they're just not into that. And so the attitude is, I'll let you know when you need to know something. And so that's the analogy. Is it any good?
Yeah, give it to Larry, because I'm otherwise occupied.
I think it's a little bit different, Larry, when we elect these people to represent us. In Charleston, you know, based on their geography, where they live. And,
thank you.
You know, they should answer the phone. They should return messages. They should return emails, even if it's a blast email that says, I'm swamped and I'll get back to you when I can.
They should bow down to me.
But the thing is, they're there to represent. And a lot of times with the GOP candidates that we have representing us, they don't answer letters.
Nothing.
They don't answer phone calls. They don't do anything. And where's the constituent service? There is none.
I'm glad I asked. I'm glad I asked.
This is a democracy, and as far as I know, they have to respond. I think it's in the Constitution.
We were talking earlier about Pompeo, right?
Right.
You mentioned Pompeo and how much weight he's gained. Just, I got one, John. Hold on the outskirts here. I think I don't know if anybody's seen Mooney. Nervous eater.
No, he nervous eater. He hires Maryland senators to run his office.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, my experience has been with Joe Manchin, and he's answered right away. Every time. So, you know, I didn't have any.
Well, he's a Democrat.
I don't have any failures.
He's a Democrat. Well, he believes in constituent service.
Yeah, my wife wife knows the man who runs her Martinsburg office pretty well. And they always get along. And
he's a good guy.
When the Kavanaugh thing happened, you know, before my wife and I were really pissed off. I mean, we were really angry at Joe. We were disappointed. Felt like we'd been duped, and we told him so. We told the office so. We told Joe so. And my wife said, you know, look, you know, there's people in our area that just had a fundraiser for you, pal. And we know them, and we know who they are. And you keep doing this, you're going to have problems, man.
All right, so we got a big problem ahead of us with PEIA. There's not going to be a permanent funding source, I don't believe, not a lot with this government in there. They're going to have to struggle. I'm sure John Doyle, he was going to call in tonight, but he's on the road. And he did say that he's pretty sure that they're going to figure out a way to fund PEIA for this year. But the permanent solution does require something from the severance tax. Okay, it just requires it. There is no other source of money
right.
that's sustainable no. over a long time. So that's where we're at on that, and it's going to be a tough nut for the teachers and the public employees who walked out over this. Now they're going to be confronted with
they're going to have to walk out again.
A tough situation.
You know, they're going to have to walk out again. But here's the thing. One thing that I haven't mentioned since we've been doing this. On the last broadcast, I wanted to just give my sincere thanks to Delegate-elect Brown, Sammy Brown, for calling in and offering us her enthusiasm and her ideas. And I do see those are some of the folks, her and people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and those folks make me... hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
They make me optimistic that there are ideas. Now, these ideas may be
never out of them,
but yeah.
Quoth the
raven. But here I am looking right into the eyes of this negative ninny right across here from me. This pessimism, pile of pessimism, negativism.
I have a doom report that you're going to just destroy the back you. You're going to reach for that glass of wine. You know.
She and Bernie Sanders had an internet townhouse.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, has them all the time.
Yeah. But he had a big one up in Burlington right. for his conference.
I saw that, and she was on it.
Yeah,
Alexandria was on it.
Right. Yeah, and
she gave quite a speech.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and I honestly, you guys may wreck me for this or may get. I don't think Bernie should run. No.
Well, he's the leader of the movement right now.
I don't think Bernie should run.
I think it's too early to say.
I don't think he should run. I don't think Joe should run. I don't think Hillary should run. I don't think any of them that's run before should run again.
I think whoever wins runs should
I think what
to.
We should do is have a primary, rally around the candidates, support who we want to support, and whoever wins, we go like hell. Mm-hmm. That, you know, let's not make one more mistake saying let's not make the perfect the enemy of the good again.
Right.
Let's not do that because that kicked our ass the last time.
All right. Now I want to move on a little bit here.
You're saying Bernie's too perfect?
No, he's not too perfect, actually.
I mean, all right, the whole thing on this next election is going to be this progressive wing.
How strong
AKA socialist Democrat. How much of an effect they would have on the outcome.
I will say this, that Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who is at the steering wheel, at the steering committee of the Democrats, has pulled that party to a progressive level.
Good.
Or our party to a progressive level.
Good. Okay.
And her mother.
I want to move on for a minute, okay?
Yes.
And because it's time for the doom report. You know.
Do you need some bumper music for this?
There were a bunch of us in the middle of the Vietnam War who were not with Larry, but, you know, who were engaged in what seemed like a pointless battle to end it. But nonetheless, we have a couple of bad things that have been happening and that now are... becoming quite profound. 2 days in a row, the stock market has lost all its value since 2018.
Yep.
And
rich people are losing money for rich white people. It's crazy.
It's been working toward this for a while, and you can point to the weird trade so-called agreement with China that then was followed by the arrest in Canada of the CEO of Hawaii. Now, not Hawaii, but
the Chinese
Huawei,
yeah,
corporation. And who knows what's going on?
Nissan's under the gun.
But now China has directly said to the Canadians in their court, you know, you do not extradite this woman. Okay, and so okay, now we're going to see that happen. And so you got this volatility going on that level, and the stock market is just showing you that they don't know where it's going either, frankly. Okay, they're not getting it. And question is that this chaos that's spreading, it's beginning to look a little bit, you know, like the PEIA crisis in West Virginia. There's a great big one just like it that's taking the whole country down, okay?
Strongly, hugely, bigly, lots of people say.
And he's full of shit.
Some people tell me.
But we getting past him is forcing people. How do you get past a crisis like this?
I don't know.
Because you have structural problems that have to be fixed. And the last time we had a big structural problem was 1860. Okay, well, yeah. And there is nothing. There is the reactionary powers in the United States are no less reactionary than the Confederacy, in my opinion, right now. Okay, and they are no less resistant. Everybody wants the Green New Deal. Let me tell you, you got to knock over the natural resource industry and its allies who are opposed to any major expansion of public goods, public infrastructure, all the things that a Green New Deal would entail. So you have an overthrow of the existing regime equivalent to Roosevelt taking power again, okay, that would have to be done in order to get this done. So I tell you folks, that's a situation that says you better be thinking about what kind of forces in the country can overthrow a government. You know, because these guys aren't going to be persuaded away. So that's my doom and gloom. Not so much doom and gloom is, but get ready. Okay, you're sitting in 1858.
Let me push.
Or you're sitting in 1774.
Let me push back.
Or at 1763 at the end of the French and Indian War.
You know? Okay.
Come on, it's that's just, where you're at.
If I don't say anything, you're just gonna keep freaking talking.
Okay,
shut up.
Where's the Jack Terrier? Where's the Jack Russell?
Shut the
now?
Up.
How about that dog?
Listen, you stupid.
All right, go
listen,
ahead.
Listen, you guys. Here's what I would say is there's not nearly. I know you keep saying, "Ooh, the growth of the alt right, this right wing." You know what? Look, you know what? They bleed. They don't want to bleed, and they run their mouths, and they're real tough behind their guns. But when a National Guard comes in and wipes their ass out, all you need is one of them.
Are they going to wipe their
ass
out?
They make one goddamn example. Done. You move on to the next and say, okay, do you want to try it?
Okay, man. Yeah.
Shut up.
Okay. Now, thank you, Mike.
Now, my point is.
You're going to kill him. That's your point.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not the first modus operandi.
Okay. All right.
My first modus operandi is what Larry talked about, is invest in education. God, look at us.
Yeah.
We've been pulling back from education for years, and look what's happened.
Yeah, they're a lot less evil than they are dumb.
We got to teach the robots
not
to take our
jobs. You said something earlier about masculinity.
Yeah.
And what it is to be a man. And we really have a distorted view of that, like you pointed out. Have you ever heard of a guy named Sapolsky?
Yes.
He's a researcher on primate behavior. Yeah, and he was following a congress of baboons.
That's funny, a congress.
For 20 years.
Wow.
And he...
That's a lot of research.
Yeah, there was an event. And there'll be a dunoge. But a resort was built in the territory where this congress of baboons lived. And they were throwing their garbage in a pit. And... Oh, an observation that he made of the baboons first is that it's a brutally patriarchal.
Right.
The big, tough males do get everything.
Yeah, they do.
Well, they got this garbage, and they wouldn't let anybody else have it. Only it had a form of leukemia in it that was very deadly to baboons. And before they could stop it from happening, all the alpha males died.
Oof.
And what resulted was a much kinder, gentler, beforehand not seen,
thoughtful, peaceful.
The males held the babies. They groomed each other.
Everything was fine.
It was entirely different kind of baboon colony, all the others.
Baboon communism.
Yeah. They were baboon socialists.
Baboon said to his male son, I love you. Nobody cried or said, you know, it was all, yeah. Or they did cry and it didn't matter. Nobody cared.
Right. Or the son comes up and says, do you love me? And he doesn't hit him in the mouth.
Doesn't smack him. What are you, candy ass? Get the hell out of here. I got 10 minutes in this garage. Get out.
Right, right.
Yeah, kind of thing, yeah.
So maybe we'd be better off not giving so much into the alpha males.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about is that what do they call it? There's an actual technical name for the missing masculinity or something, the less masculinity. There's something going on where men feel, you know, antiquated.
I have a solution.
Or what's that? Please tell me, John. I know it's going to be something you think is really funny, but go ahead.
No. I mean, I think that the way to do something about it is to, first of all, license every woman about whether she's able to have children or not. And then you say, okay, you can only have children if you avoid alpha male types, okay?
Wow.
Which would then, you know,
breed them out of
unnaturally select or deselect the
well, we're on some eggshells. Yeah, we're on eggshells here.
financial. That's an incentive. Give them an incentive to go with guys less than alpha male.
Is it all right if I make a comment that I say don't like where this is going?
Yeah, really I think it's more than okay. I think it's essential.
Look, I derive all of my political tactics from Rasputin. Okay,
so yeah. I was going to say you'd have to be a communist society in order to pull that off.
You don't have any.
You'd have to be communist.
Whatever gets the czar off that morning, you know, is good.
The Chinese limit their family size by number of
well, they got a billion and a half people
that the kids can have.
And they have a food import problem.
They ran into problems with that because there was a rise in infanticide of female babies.
Yes, well, there was. That's true.
And they had other problems with the single child.
Well,
idea.
I mean, President Xi was one of the advocates for not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but he's also
but he has a solution.
He's also
it's
an
called
advocate.
Export labor all over the world Belt and Road. Yeah. Right.
He's also an advocate for continuing to steal every intellectual idea every other country has and make it your own.
Well, you know, they're making their own. Just makes it open source.
Well, maybe we should think that over. You know, before Chaucer, there were no intellectual property rights.
I'd like to see John.
As a matter of fact,
I want to see John create this brilliant idea and like start to make a little bit of money on it, and then China come in and take it over and go. How do you feel now, John?
Well, if they pay me for it, I mean, it's one thing, okay? But
I'm just saying, no, they don't pay you. Well,
let me give you an example of an unfair Chinese trade practice, okay? There, the machine tool industry in New England, okay, went through a big change in the 70s and 80s with more automation, right, and, you know, getting rid of some of the skilled thread grinders and stuff like that.
Sounds familiar.
And when that happened, you know, the Chinese wanted to get into the thing first. And so because they had state subsidies, these or assists and some loans, cheap loans, whatever, from the government,
right. They
had the best deal around. Their machines did not have as good a reputation as the American ones or the German ones, okay? But the Chinese company made the following offer: we'll give you the machines for free, and then 3 years later, if you're still happy with them, you know, we'll upgrade them, and then you'll pay us for the upgrade at that point. But you don't have to pay anything for them now.
You can't compete with that.
And how do you compete with that, right? See, that's called a predatory.
Right.
They did the same thing to solar panels in Canada.
That's the kind of crap they pull everywhere.
Same deal, yeah.
But the crap we pull everywhere with agriculture everywhere in the world. I mean, talk about the immigration crisis from Mexico. We caused it with our cost-nothing corn and put the entire agriculture business of Mexico out of business.
Right.
So, I mean, we've done, you know, the same. Right.
Would you like an avocado?
right, you know. So it's complicated, and you got to negotiate it. I think on a case by case basis.
I agree with that. You do, and that's. I think that might be where the problem lies. You made a really good point, John. Is that I don't think we've negotiated a lot of things on a case by case basis. I think we try to think that all of the pegs are round, and so are the holes. You know what I mean? And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
We all know that's bullshit. We
sure.
You know, that's just not right.
Yeah, the simple answer to the complex problem.
Right. Because that's our, you and I were going back to like earlier, because we have this bumper sticker society when the reality is we need depth, man.
Yeah.
We need detail.
Why do we need a wall when we already have just say no?
I know.
Just say no, yeah.
Well, a wall's not going to do...
And we yeah, have, yeah, it's my point. You know,
we have the lowest level of migration from, even with these numbers from Honduras and these other... Like John said, we're causing the problems in Honduras and Guatemala.
It's all fear-based. It's all fear-based.
You know, we're creating some of those awful situations where the gangs are taking over and threatening to rape families and turn out 14-year-old daughters. That's why they're migrating to the United States.
Well, here's a question. Where are the cartels selling their drugs?
Yes.
And the other question is the other question is where are they getting their guns?
Not in Massachusetts anymore. Not in Colorado.
I think the helicopter's outside, John.
But in West Virginia. Yes. See, we still have a cartel connection.
Don't say anything.
Are we a cartel state?
No.
Let's ask Governor Justice that.
Which cartel?
All you need to know is I done did it. Is what I'm saying. Hold on.
No, don't take another shit on the air. Come on. You know.
I don't need to know. Y'all get a bunch
this
of...
This guy needs to be in
y'all
peace.
Y'all just a bunch of shit-kicking liberals just running your damn mouth out there.
You know. Are there any holes in the... Are there any abandoned coal mines that be big enough to hold you for a couple thousand years?
Hold on, my horse is calling. I got to go.
Yeah, right. Celery is crisp. That's what the horse said.
What? What did he say?
So is Bray? You think Bray Carey is actually living in the mansion, in the governor's mansion?
That sounds like another name for a horse.
Yeah, because it could be Carey Bray. His name is ambidextrous.
It's very difficult to talk to a man who could have a name that would be like both ways. Bray Carey? Carey Bray?
Right.
You know, West Virginia would be more like Briar. Now, Briar would be a good West Virginia name.
You know.
Not Bray.
We are District 12. We are District 12.
Bray is an animal.
Well, come and get them resources,
the name
boy.
Of a noise an animal makes. Right?
Is this guy worth even thinking about? Bray.
Well, we've got it. He's running the government right now.
Oh, man.
I think JJ comes to the Capitol like 3 days a week.
Did I tell you what happened when I called the Secretary of State's office to inquire about the fact that my report for the FL-CIO thing was late?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, I explained it last meeting. Were you sleeping through that?
I was thinking about something else.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, the woman that took my call said, "Well, it won't matter." And I said, "Well, why not? Well, no one's paying any attention to any of those."
Oh, that's right. I remember now. I said, what?
She said that to you?
Yeah. She said, "Don't worry about it. No one's going to say anything.
No one pays. They're not even reading them. You know,
them reports just pile up on his desk from one side to the other."
And she never had a job until her boss was elected.
Oh man,
Mark, what's his name? Mac Warner.
Yo, no, them just reports. I try to get them out there and put them in. They just pile up on one side. They never read them. He don't never read them.
Yeah, but he fired all the Democrats in the office, and they sued him and won over $1 million.
Wow.
That the state is paying.
Wow.
This is really... You know,
so...
Everybody sleep tight tonight.
Who lost?
Everybody sleep tight tonight. We all feel comfortable living in this shithole. Really,
all right,
I'm going to Costa Rica. I don't know about you.
Well, I have a last theme for the senior system.
Listen, pal. Don't build that boat without me.
Hey, we're flying down.
We can still build a boat when we're there. Give us something to do.
Larry Summers, okay, former Secretary of the Treasury and chairman.
Somebody you really like. John likes this guy.
Chairman of the President's Council of Economic and a genius. Okay,
continues to say some really smart things.
He called him a genius.
He is a genius. Sachs guy. You ever meet him and watch him? Yeah. He's as smart
really
as.
Talking can. About Larry Summers again. I'm going to leave.
Hold on.
Go get us another bottle of wine.
No, man, you got to listen. This is important.
All right.
Okay.
Come on, tell us about Larry.
This is very important. So Larry has, he represents what, center of the Democratic Party, basically, you know.
Well, I think it's center, but I think it might be just a little left.
No, it is. Not, yeah, he's been much better since he departed. He's admitted mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, one of the only guys in that position that's really kind of come out and said, I was wrong.
That was wrong. The way we did it was wrong. He doesn't agree that it was the cause of everything as much as some people say, but he says, no, it didn't have the effect that we wanted it to have either.
Well, he also mentioned there should have been more discipline on Wall Street.
But yeah, so anyway, Larry says China will win the development war because the sheer numbers. First of all, there's nothing that's being discussed now that's going to change by more than a percentage point the position of either country's performance. Okay, nothing. You know, our tariffs may cut us by a half a percent or a percent, okay, but it'll go away eventually. And over there, you know, yes, it's going to cost them a little bit, but again, not much more than a percent.
They just absorb it right into what they're doing.
They got a billion people. The numbers themselves and their investments in these high technologies are going to pay off, okay.
So what's going to happen?
So they are going to prevail, you know, or unless they collapse and screw it up themselves, okay, and they haven't been screwing it up much for the past 30 years.
Well, no, they haven't. But
so they will become the most powerful economy and then ultimately country in the world.
Right, right.
How do you feel about that?
But I don't. I'm going to anticipate that that's right now inevitably true to a certain extent. But what I will say is everyone, and I hate to paraphrase Roger Stone. Everyone has their time in the barrel. And what I mean by that is, look, when you're the leader of the world, a lot of pressure, okay, and you're used to acting a certain way. And to me, Team America has been pretty smooth for a really long time, except for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And my point is we're basically...
I can think of some other times, too.
We're basically... I know. There have been some other times. Yeah. But right now, we're a rudderless ship. Let's face it. We're just flying blind into the abyss.
The bottom of the barrel.
Right. But the bottom line is, we are also very resilient. And I believe, optimistically, and maybe I'm naive about this, but I believe that there is some things heretofore that have not yet been created that you haven't seen on the world stage or the world market, that American ingenuity seems to rise, seems to catch wind. And whew, you know what I mean? I'm not, you know, when the internet exploded, all of these things can all of these things at a certain level can happen again. What I mean by that, John, let me finish. What I mean by that is if we do a moonshot of green energy, look, China is going to have to deal with us and we're going to have to deal with them. We have to accept that. They are huge. There is no doubt about that. But man, oh man, are we damn good.
All right. Okay.
Good. We're really good.
Let's hear the patriotic message from JB there. How do you feel about what Mike just said?
Well, Mike is entitled to his opinion, and a lot of what he said is true. But you know, the thing about China is that they got us by the numbers.
Yeah.
And they always have. They always have, and I think that guy's pretty savvy, from what I can tell.
Gee.
I think he's savvy.
President, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think he's way more savvy than Putin.
Than Trump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's a pretty sharp cookie.
I think he's of the three, he's the smartest.
Right.
Supposed to.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And we're not.
But so are you.
I mean, he didn't do any he didn't do any high five with the Saudi prince.
No.
Not at
and
all.
He left Trump saying, you know, well, Trump said all these things happened, and Xi said, well, we'll see.
Yeah. You know.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I love the work with the bone saw. That was great, man. Did you do that?
Oh, man. Right.
I like the plutonium myself.
Plutonium, you know? Yeah, much easier.
All right. One last thought here.
Okay.
The millennials
yes.
are not having children.
No.
They're not having is sex. This?
They're not even living together. They live in different parts of the house.
Hold on. Yeah.
One lives upstairs. The other one lives downstairs.
Hold on. Hold on.
You haven't lived.
It could be deeper than that.
Look, you haven't lived until you tried to procreate in the back of a Pinto.
Right. Okay, so the millennials are not having children, not getting married as much, not having children.
Don't have cars.
Is this because we are nearing childhood's end for the human race? I'm serious.
Everything is coming to an end because John's coming to an end.
Exactly. Do you see? Who do you see walking around with the end is near signs? A bunch of old guys, right? Okay, see? They know.
Yes, the end is near for you.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so yeah, but my question is that is this because they sense the coming of a storm?
John, let me just...
Bernie, thank you.
Let me just break this down for you. You know, you and I are about the same age.
Well,
okay.
You're a little senior. Senator.
You know. We can, you know, let's not mince words. All right. Here's the point. I'm in much better shape than you. But the point is, I could probably, you know, rip your head off. Here's the thing. I don't think things are as bad as you think they are, and I don't think things are as good as Mike thinks they are. But one thing we have to say about this income inequality is enough is enough.
Okay, man.
And the whole thing about the Green New Deal is it's going to create millions of jobs.
Well, you know, he just
disappeared. Millions of jobs. You know,
gone. It could if you get the power to do it.
Well, I mean, it's like we were saying. I was telling John before you showed up, before you guys came, we were talking about that pavement company that's in upstate New York and in Canada that makes that new age paving material that is not dirty and doesn't dirty up the landscape, and it's much stronger and it's rubberized, and you can light it up. Isn't that amazing?
There are amazing things. There's no question. AI is amazing. What's happening there in robotics is really amazing.
We need to do.
You know, to John's question, I think that end of empire is an historical inevitability. So they get replaced, and then they run up just about, as far as I can tell by studying it or whatever I read about it, is they follow pretty much the same trajectory. We're doing what the Romans did. We're doing what the Greeks did. We're doing what England did. We're doing what France did. But it's been done and done, and now we're doing it.
That's like there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, you really think that? You know,
yeah. Does history repeat itself? Yes.
I don't know. I think we have a destiny.
I do know. I do know that there's going to be a new menu.
Oh, that's right. By the way, the Picadillo. Give me some scores on the Picadillo, guys.
I believe I would give you a 9.5.
Wow, that out of 10.
Whoa.
Because the piece I ate was delectable.
Okay.
It tasted like a thigh.
Thank you, Dr. Lecter.
I give it a strong 8.34.
Nice.
I thought it was very tasty, and I probably had one or too many tacos that I made. But I think
that was good.
So as long as I don't get sick tonight, I'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so you're holding back a point tomorrow morning? Can we get an extra point tomorrow morning if you're fine?
Tomorrow you'll be a 7.8.
It's an 8.34.
Tomorrow will be a 7.8.
8.34 is the best I can do, John.
Okay. All right.
I just had one little bite. I didn't even eat a tie. I just had one little bite, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, so the
I ate three tacos.
Yeah, you did.
The Cubans, by the way, are. Speaking of, you know, the
influence on a meal. Shall we all go to Cuba? Let's go now.
Our good friend Zaki is over there, or was over there. And
let's get all horses and go.
Their major industry is doctors and medical services, which they spread around the world. And they have a very service-oriented economy that's mostly public sector. I mean, they're struggling with that, and I think they're going to make the shift here to
very soon.
You know, they
to democracy.
Well, I think 20th century socialism, you know, made
it's
a
little steps
had a learning curve.
Little steps, yeah.
You know, about what you can do. Okay, I mean, you have a society that's class structure falls apart. You know, like Russia's or like the United States.
Well, I watched Conan.
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
But when it falls apart,
right?
Who's there to pick it up? Okay, is a big question. Okay, and whether they are organized or
right,
not to
right.
pick it up. And you had, you know, nobody after the French Revolution, frankly, that was ready to pick it up.
Jacobins, and they made a mess. Yeah.
Well, right. And they never could govern, actually, no. you know, right. until finally right. Napoleon came
right.
along.
You right. Know? Right. Well, I just.
So you.
I see what you're saying.
You
but
know, you hear it's a real big thing, you know.
Right. I watched Conan go to Cuba 2 years ago from his show and do a show from this restaurant. And man, oh man, I have to tell you, you know. You making this food tonight kind of reminded me of that, and looking at the food that was made in this restaurant and how it was made by hand, by a family, and how happy everyone was.
Ah, yes. The H word.
Not only to right. make it, but the people that ate it
mm-hmm.
looked like that. I mean, it's very rare that you see something where you're like, man. Mm-hmm. I wish I was in Cuba right now eating that food. You
sound like Hemingway.
Yeah. Oh, no, it looked delightful. It just looked delightful. Everyone did look very happy. They mm-hmm. really did. They looked very happy and very family-oriented.
All right. We don't do very well in the happiness scale.
Larry, what's the book you most want to read?
I'm rereading Escape from Freedom by Eric Fromm.
Oh, my God.
I recommend it.
Wow.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, that's I'm enjoying
classic
it.
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and yeah. And the analogy to what's going on today is just striking and remarkable. And the information he gives is to the psychology of this sort of phenomenon. And mixes it in so interestingly. It's nice. Really worth a shot.
You what know? You reading, John? What you reading?
JB? I'm John. John. Oh,
John
me.
Case. What you reading?
Oh, I'm reading in the Republic for which it stands.
Very nice. Okay.
Which is the...
I'm reading Fear.
History of the United States and the Reconstruction Gilded Age area.
I'm reading Fear, and it's scaring the shit out of me. But
Fear?
Yes.
I'm doing A Course in Miracles.
Oh my God!
Wow. On YouTube.
Wow.
Well, have you? You got to talk to Mark. No, you better not.
What's that?
Well, our friend Mark Mulligan.
Is he in that?
He's a master of it.
I better go talk to him.
Well,
then.
My friend John, you have a problem. You mentioned to me earlier for me to mention to you, and if I did not do it, you would be mad at me that you did not want to overextend with editing.
I know, and we are now at the time. Okay, we probably should bring this to an end, actually.
John, JB,
7:15.
Larry, I can't thank you enough, and I want to thank the audience out there for listening to the...
I don't know how many there are right now.
I want to thank
there
the audience
the 15
for listening
when
to
we started,
the
you know,
Diner in Progress show, or whatever the hell it's called.
It's the Progress Diner.
Progress Diner show, everybody, yeah. With your original Dusty Food Philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, and your sometime sidekick, JB Christensen, and his other sidekick, Larry, and occasionally a multiple voice, Mr. Mike Diesel's coming on the air. He kind of sucks, but sometimes he's funny, everybody. All right.
Now I want to charge you guys next time with trying to get somebody to call in. I'm going to try to fix the number.
I can do that. You know I can do that, John.
Yeah, I know. So if just get somebody to call
if I
in.
Call
we
my,
get a call.
If I call my brother and just go, look, mother.
It's
you better.
I have to have direction.
He'll call.
So
he'll
be like,
yeah, I know. Well, I
can get anybody anytime.
I was gonna do.
I have a couple of those brothers. Somebody.
Yeah, I did. I had he Doyle, but then he there. Said he's gonna. He was traveling, and he said he couldn't.
Kind of weird
it,
children.
You know? And anyway. Yeah. But we'll get somebody next time. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging in there. And
thank you, John.
Try some picadillo on rice.
I have an announcement to make.
What's all that? Right, JB?
We had a delegate that ran in Hedgesville, John Eisner, in the 59th district, I believe.
Right.
Y'all remember him? You met
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I remember.
Good
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Smart. He teaches at Shepherd, and young guy, a millennial. He and his wife decided to move to Parkersburg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're moving.
Oh, like, wow.
Why there?
Yeah.
They got a job in another part
she
of the...
Got, she got a job there that...
pays more than Shepherd?
Well, he
wouldn't
felt
be hard.
They're from there too.
Oh, well, yeah.
So he's going home.
Right,
it's going
right.
home.
He's going home. They're going home. Well, good for him.
Yeah,
good
it's going
him.
Home. And he'll probably stay involved in everything. But, you know, I just wanted to pass that on because I had a lunch.
John.
I went to lunch with him today, and, you know, we
bye
said
guys.
Goodbye.
We're going to have to struggle to keep our friend Zaki from moving to Baltimore, you know. So,
I know.
But, he's a...
Zaki's threatening to move?
Well, he's going to be raising his two grandkids.
And that's because it'll be easier to raise him in the city?
He has family.
He has family there, too.
Yeah, by the way, you guys want to join us at in bed tonight? You know, where I'll cut all this off, guys. Right. It's okay. Anyway. Tell me when you can't.